God who is our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Okay. Life is often viewed from the perspective of winning and losing. From the innocuous like sporting events to business deals. From conversations with our spouse and friend to the arena of scholastic achievement. From political events to global economics. It seems that each and every part of life is often boiled down to the question of whether we are winners or whether we are losers. Now, we are taught from childhood, I think, that winning is preferable and to be acclaimed above the alternative. We celebrate, rightly so, those athletes who win championships. We celebrate business giants who make billions. We celebrate politicians who get elected and entertainment stars who make it onto our movie screens and televisions. To be sure, this accent on winning has brought great achievement. The striving for success and winning has been a generating force that has brought us many of the most amazing moments in human history. This week in particular, the 50th anniversary of walking on the moon. It was important for us to win the space race. It has brought an amazing history and an amazing story. In a very real sense, getting up and seizing the day is what gets us up in the morning. To win the day, whether in our jobs or in our family life or in our relationships. Hashtag winning seems to drive so much of our lives. Still, I believe that this dualistic thinking of putting people into categories of winners and losers, as much as it is a generating force for good in so many ways, it also costs us, especially insofar as it defines us over against one another. Now, this happens in very harmless ways. I have actually witnessed Virginia Tech fans and West Virginia fans and Virginia fans all coexisting just fine in this community of faith. But this dualistic thinking costs us in more profound, potentially worrisome ways and distracting ways of politics. The crazy way that our media sensationalizes our political differences is and continues to be quite alarming. For whether one is a Republican or a Democrat or another, that does not totally define who you are as easily as it is often portrayed. Dualistic thinking is harmful as well, and certainly worrisome and distracting in the church. When denominations or congregations take leadership or make decisions on the contentious cultural issues of our day, that can lead honest and loving Christian men and women who hold different views to find that their bond of community is fractured. And I don't know about you, but there really are no winners in those experiences. To be sure, defining ourselves over and against each other, whether playfully in sports or more poignantly in politics and the church, our insistence to claim winners and losers, I believe, makes us less whole. In our gospel lesson, the familiar account of Mary and Martha has traditionally been interpreted through a winners and losers worldview. Mary, the contemplative disciple, is seen as the winner, while Martha, the doer disciple, is seen as the loser. And this dualistic worldview has often misrepresented what I believe is at the heart of this story. You see, on one hand, the account has been portrayed as elevating the contemplative life of faith above a more service-oriented life of faith. I'm not exactly sure how this occurred, since Jesus says, what? I have come not to be served, but to serve. But nevertheless, this has been true at times in our history. Likewise, some have used this text to assign a passive posture to women's roles in the church, based on Jesus saying to Mary that she has chosen the better part. Again, the fact in this story that Jesus is relating to Mary and Martha exactly how he would have related to male disciples should have negated such interpretation, yet it has still occurred throughout our history. But this account, I believe, in my estimation, is not how one chooses to exercise her faith. And nor really is this account about women, or at least not solely about women. And friends, I also believe that our learning today is not about winning and losing. For you see, the dualistic worldview that counts winners and losers does something that seems to be antithetical to what a relationship with Jesus offers us. In our account today, Jesus is not saying anything about whether the contemplative life is to be acclaimed above the servant life. He is not divinely assigning roles to women in the faith, nor is he declaring winners and losers. In fact, Jesus is doing the exact opposite. To be sure, Martha's worries and distractions are honest. They're born from her faithfulness. She's trying best to serve her Lord and to live out her Christian and cultural call to hospitality. It would be a grave oversimplification to suggest that this reading is merely an example of Jesus telling Martha, "Don't worry, be happy." Martha's frustration with her sister and Jesus is rooted in her flawed dualistic understanding of right and wrong, of winners and losers. Martha is doing the right thing. And shouldn't Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah, of all people, recognize this and send Mary back to help her? I'm doing the right thing, Jesus. Aren't you acknowledging the fact that I am hashtag winning? Martha is so worried and so distracted by trying to do the right thing that she misses the breadth of reality right in front of her. Well, Martha is doing and acting exactly how she is supposed to act. She cannot see that so is Mary. Albeit different, no less faithful. And Jesus speaks a powerful word of hopeful reminder to Martha, and I believe to us. When Jesus says, Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her, I don't believe he is elevating Mary above her or chastising Martha for being a doer, or simply telling her not to worry so much. Instead, what I believe Jesus is offering her and to us is a vision that there is but one thing that makes the difference in all things. That one thing is the life-giving grace and embrace that is found purely and solely in a relationship with Jesus. Above all else, in the midst of all the distractions of our lives, in the midst of all the uncertainties of our lives, in the midst of all of the frustrations in our lives, the one thing that shapes them all is knowing and being known and loved by Jesus. So much of our lives become inundated with worrisome distractions. Distractions that may in the moment be and seem meaningful and important, vital and necessary. Like Martha, who is worried and distracted by her faithful sense of hospitality, we too can become worried and distracted as spouses, as parents. We can become worried and distracted in our professions or with our politics or in our church or congregation. We can become worried and distracted as individuals living with whatever personal struggles or demands or grievances are at the forefront of our lives today. Graciously, what Jesus says is that amid our real and warranted worries and distracting tasks, there is one thing that will never be taken away from us. One thing that will be offered daily, hourly, minute by minute, second by second to every single one of you. And that is the opportunity to be in relationship with the Jesus who has come near, who has come into your home, who comes into your life. The world is not about winning or losing. Because the thing is, whatever sports team you pull for, and if you happen to pull for the teams I do, they're going to lose. A lot. The relationships with your family and friends will have good and bad moments alike. As we know, our political leaders, regardless of party, will govern unwisely. Our congregations and denominations will make decisions with which you will not always agree. Nations will go to war. Natural disasters will occur. But one thing will never be taken from you. One thing that will always be there to comfort you, lead you, and carry you through the many things that can never make such a promise. No matter the worry, no matter the distraction, no matter the division or where others may place you as a winner or a loser, Jesus will be in your midst and invite you to turn your attention to Him, where you will find there is no such thing as winners and losers, where you will find the sustenance and the solace that you seek, so that you might faithfully live in and through all that life ever brings your way. In Jesus' name.